When Nero watched the Christians who were being tortured, who were being put to death, sing, he said, why? Why are they singing? Why would any human being sing when they're in trials and tribulation? Why would they sing when they're facing death? That's what you and I need to know and understand. We need that brand of Christianity that's able to have joy despite circumstances. Prisons don't always have gates and bars, do they? Sometimes we're imprisoned in circumstances that are of our own doing, or we're imprisoned in circumstances that are of others' doing. The question is, how do we live, even if we're behind bars or if there are no bars, and yet it's imprisonment? It's a circumstance that has us chained to it. How do we live, and how do we have joy in that circumstance? Well, that's what we want to see as we look at this epistle of joy, as we look at the book of Philippians. Now, if you'll remember, in our last program, we had read the first few verses of Philippians chapter 1, and we saw over and over that there was that word, imprisonment. And we saw that it was my imprisonment, that Paul was writing the letter. And we saw that Paul was imprisoned. Timothy wasn't imprisoned, but Timothy apparently was there with him when he wrote this epistle, because he says, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ to the saints in Philippi. And so he's writing to the saints in Philippi. We know that he's in prison. Now, what did I do? I marked every reference to imprisonment. And what I did is I underlined it in black, a squiggly underline, and then I put like three chains together over the word imprisonment. And you see it in verse 7. Let me read it to you. For it is only right for me to feel this way about you all, because I have you in my heart, since both in my imprisonment and the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of grace with me. Now, what does he say? There's grace for imprisonment. There's grace when you're defending and confirming the gospel. And then he goes on to say in verse 13, so that my imprisonment, and you would mark that in a specific way, as I just showed you, in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else. All right, now when we read this and we make a list, and once you mark the author and once you mark the recipients, then you want to make a list of everything that you learn about the author and everything that you learn about the recipients from marking those references. You want to mark anything that tells you who or what or when or where or why or how. So we know this. We know from verse 13 that he's imprisoned, and we know that the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else. So the Praetorian Guard is a certain group of people. They were a group of guards from the Roman army in Rome, and that's where Paul is as he writes this. Now, this does not tell us he was in Rome, but the Praetorian Guard gives us a clue, and we're going to find out how to discover more about that, because whenever you study an epistle, you want to understand the historical setting of that epistle. You want to put it into its historical context. What was going on at that period of time? What was Philippi like? Where was Paul in prison? Well, then you come down to verse 17, and you read, the former proclaimed Christ out of selfish ambition rather than from pure motives, thinking to cause me distress in my imprisonment. All right, so you would mark imprisonment again. And what you learn from this is that there are people who are preaching Christ, but they're doing it from a wrong motive. They're doing it out of selfish ambition. They're doing it thinking that as they preach Christ, they're going to cause greater distress for Paul. Now, we're going to see the context of all this, but I don't want to labor that point right now in this lesson. What I want us to do is I want us to go back where I left you in the last lesson, which is in Acts chapter 16, and I want us to look at Paul in Philippi, and because this gives us an account of the gospel coming to Philippi. So we want to go to Acts chapter 16. Now, I read to you verse 11 and 12, and it talks about he's in Asia, and he's planning on going and preaching the gospel in Asia on this second missionary journey. Paul had 3 missionary journeys, and he's planning on going to these places, but the Holy Spirit stops him. A man from Macedonia in a vision says, come over here and help us. So they sail across this little bit of water that's at the top of the Aegean Sea, and it would be about where present-day Istanbul is. And so they run a straight course to Samothrace, and then on the following day to Neapolis. Neapolis is this port in Macedonia, in Macedonia, where he lands. All right. Then it says, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia, a Roman colony. All right, now let me just stop and say that the city of Philippi was founded by Philip, who was the father of Alexander the Great. And when we do our Greek study tours, where we study Philippians and Philippi and Thessalonians and Thessaloniki and Acts in Berea and in Athens and then Corinthians and Corinth, and then take a 3-day cruise on the Aegean Sea, and then we go to Patmos and teach the book of Revelation, and we go to Ephesus and study the book of Ephesians. Well, when we do all this, we go to the tomb of Philip. It's an incredible, incredible museum. It's just absolutely fabulous. And he's the father of Alexander the Great. And at one time, Philippi had gold and silver mines in it. But by the time it becomes a Roman colony, the gold and the silver is gone. Now, it was also a major port city because it's not far from Neapolis. And so a lot of trade would go through this city. And as you go through the city, you walk the actual Via Ignatia, the Ignatian Way, which was this highway, so to speak, this road that went all the way, and you can trace it all the way down through Greece. It's an incredible, incredible highway. And you can stand on it yourself, and you can see all the surroundings of Philippi. Well, when you go there, then you can go to the prison. And it's just kind of a tiny little archaeological dig right now, but that's the prison where they felt Paul was put there when he went to Philippi. Now, remember, Paul's writing an epistle of joy, and he's talking about having joy even in his imprisonment. Now, if we want to understand that, we have to go back and see, all right, Paul teaches it, but does Paul live it? You know, we can say, God says, in everything give thanks, and we can say that to others, but do we give thanks when it happens to us? Do we understand that God is sovereign, that His sovereignty rules over all, and that whatever comes into our life is filtered through His fingers of love because He holds us in His hand? Well, when we come down to Philippians chapter, I mean to Acts chapter 16, verse 19, we find that Paul and Silas, who was traveling with him, and Timothy is also there also, that Paul and Silas have just delivered this girl that is filled with demonic spirits. But because she's filled with demonic spirits, she's acting as a soothsayer, and as a result of that, then she can't earn money anymore from the men that hold her captive. The girl has been set free under the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So they get upset and they put Paul in prison. And this is what it says in verse 22. It says, and the crowd rose together against them, and the chief magistrates tore their robes off of them and proceeded to order them to be beaten with rods. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. And he, having received such a command, threw them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. Now, all they did was come to proclaim the gospel. All they did was walk in obedience to God. You know, so many times when we end up in a difficult situation, we think, hey, where is God? And we forget that God allows difficulties, because difficulties become your platform to show, hey, you live under the reign of a different master. You worship a different God than the rest of the people. You worship the one and only true and living God. And because you worship Him, and because you belong to Him, because you're His child, no matter where you are, no matter your imprisonment, no matter your circumstances, no matter your personal relationships, beloved, you can have joy. And you can have joy, and you can rejoice in the Lord always, because He is God. So here they are in the stocks, in the inner prison, doing what God commanded them to do and ending up in prison. I want you to know that life is not always coming up roses for a child of God, because roses are just temporary things, but you and I can move through the temporary circumstances and have joy. Watch what happens. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there came a great earthquake. Now look, they've been beaten with rods. They're in chains. They're fastened in chains. And what are they doing? They're singing. And who are they singing praises to? They're singing praises to the one and only true God. Beloved, one of the things that will bring joy into your life is to sing in the midst of trials. Keep music on your CD. Keep it on your radio, but not the world's music, but the music that causes you to look upward, to look beyond yourself, not choruses that are just focused on you, but choruses that are focused on God. And when they began to praise and sing, an earthquake came. And you know what? Their chains were loosened, and your chains will be loosened too when you sing. We'll be right back. Welcome back, beloved. Do you know how precious you are to me? Thank you for hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Thank you for wanting to know God's Word for yourself. Well, if you have downloaded the free study guide, you've already looked at Acts chapter 16. So the verses that I'm skipping over, you know the context. But if you haven't downloaded it, then you need to do that. As soon as the program is over, get on the computer and go to Precepts for Life. That's just one word, preceptsforlife.com, and download this, preceptsforlife.com, and download the study guide. And then you catch up with me. You go back and you go through Acts chapter 16, and you'll get the whole and the full picture. But because of time, I'm not going to take you into all the details. Well, you know that when the earthquake happened and the angels of the Lord moved, then the chains of everyone were undone. And it says in verse 26, immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were unfastened. And when the jailer had been roused out of sleep and had seen the prison doors open, he drew his sword to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. Now, listen, if they had escaped, somebody would have put him to death because that was his responsibility to keep them in prison. But, you know, God put Paul in prison for a purpose. This was a purpose. Watch what happens. But Paul cried out with a loud voice saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." And he called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. And after he brought them out, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Beloved, this is where peace comes from. It comes from salvation. It comes from moving from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the kingdom of God. This is where peace comes from. And if there's no peace with God, there's never going to be joy in your heart. Because how can you count it all joy when you find yourself as enmity with God? And if you have never truly, now listen, I'm talking about truly, believed on Jesus Christ, believed that He is the Son of God, that He is the only way to the Father. Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and no man comes to the Father but by Me." And if you haven't believed Him, if you have not received Him, the Bible says, as many as receive Jesus, to them, to the person that receives Jesus, God gives the power or the authority to become the sons of God. You say, "Well, how do I know if I've received Christ?" Because there's a change in your life, because the Holy Spirit moves in, because the Holy Spirit sets you free from slavery to sin. Oh, yes, you sin, but it's no longer the habit of your life, because His Spirit inside of you bears witness with your spirit, because His Spirit inside of you sheds His love abroad in your heart, and you find yourself loving when you didn't love before. All of these are signs that you can know that you are saved. And I would just suggest that you get our 40-minute Bible study. How do you know God's your Father? How do you know God's your Father? It's a 40-minute Bible study, and we're going to tell you how to get it so that you can do it, but you ought to do it with several others, and then you can discover whether God's your Father or not. But anyway, God wants all people to be saved. And so God takes his servant, his bondservant Paul, and his bondservant Silas, puts him in prison. And as he puts him in prison, then in the midst of those circumstances, they begin to do what they're supposed to do: rejoice in the Lord always. Paul doesn't just write it, but Paul lives it. And so he sings. And so then the jailer says to him, "What must I do to be saved?" And he says, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you shall be saved in your household." And so they were saved. Now, watch verse 35. "Now, when day had come, the chief magistrate sent their policemen, saying, 'Release these men.' And the jailer reported these words to Paul, saying, 'The chief magistrates have sent to release you. Now, therefore, come out and go in peace.'" But Paul said, catch this, he's got a lot of chutzpah, "They have beaten us in public without a trial, men who are Romans, and they have thrown us into prison, and now they're sending us away secretly? No, indeed. But let them come themselves and bring us out. And the policemen reported these words to the chief magistrates, and they were afraid when they heard that they were Romans. You see, to be a Roman citizen carried great benefits with it. And no Roman citizen could ever be beaten or put in prison without a trial. And so what you find now is you find them calling the magistrates, and everybody is trembling because this Roman city has mistreated a Roman citizen. Well, this is how the gospel comes to the city of Philippi. It comes to a woman of all things, a woman by the name of Lydia, a seller of purple, a businesswoman who comes to know Jesus Christ. You know that from doing your homework. But now I must tell you that Paul goes on a third missionary journey. And when he goes on that third missionary journey and he gets home from that third missionary journey, then Paul, because of an encounter with some Jews who want to kill them, calls for his case to be tried before Caesar. As a result, now this is after his third missionary journey. This is about 11 years after his first visit to Philippi. Paul ends up in prison. He ends up in a prison in Rome. And I don't want to take us beyond this lesson to the fact that he's in prison. So what I want to do is I want to take you to Acts chapter 28. And it says that they come to Rome, verse 16. And when they had entered Rome, Paul was allowed to stay by himself with a soldier who was guarding him. Now, you know where the soldier was from. You know that the soldier was from the Praetorian Guard. That's what you saw in Philippians chapter 1. And it says, and it happened after 3 days that he called those together who were leading men. And when he calls these Jews, what he does is he shares the gospel of Jesus Christ with him. Why? Because as you saw in Philippians chapter 1, Paul is set for the defense and the confirmation of the gospel. The gospel is on his heart. So the gospel is another key word that you see in Philippians chapter 1. And you want to mark it the same way I ask you to mark it in Acts, with a megaphone. And because that gospel is to be proclaimed no matter what. Well, you come to Acts chapter 28, and in verse 30, this is what it says. And he stayed 2 full years in his own rented quarters. In other words, he was not put in a prison in Rome, but he was put in rented quarters where he was chained to a Praetorian guard day and night. And it says he stayed in his own rented quarters and was welcoming all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all openness and unhindered. You know what? The gospel can be preached anywhere, but where it's heard the most clearly is in the midst of difficult circumstances, beloved. No matter what your circumstances, you can sing. You can sing praises to God because God is over your circumstances. No matter what you're imprisoned in, if you will take the step of obedience and you will begin to praise God, if you will begin to sing and make melody in your heart to the Lord, allowing the Holy Spirit to fill you, you will see that that prison will become a platform for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what life is all about, the gospel of Christ.
The Encounter Student Conference is more than an experience. It is a weekend designed to encourage and equip students in the Word of God and establish a process of discipleship that they can continue to walk out in their homes and churches. Over the course of the weekend, students and their leaders will encounter God while learning practical skills that will allow them to dig into the Word through the inductive study method. It is our hope that these skills would equip students and leaders to build a lifestyle that constantly seeks to be transformed by God's truth. This year at the conference, your groups will walk together through the 40-minute study, Ignite Your Passion for God, to discover how to cultivate a deep desire for the Lord. The Encounter Student Conference will help your group create a community that is built on a common foundation, the truth that you are discovering together. Come and ignite your passion for God with us December 2nd through the 4th. Go to transformstudent.org and register today for the Encounter Student Conference.
Beloved, before I leave you, I want to talk to you about where you are. Do you realize that in one moment, life can change? With the introduction of truth into your life and seeing it as truth and having that witness, I have just heard truth, life can change. This is what happened to Lydia, the seller of purple. Let's go back to Acts chapter 16 for just a moment. It says that Paul went on the Sabbath day, in verse 13, on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate of Philippi to a riverside where we were supposing that there would be a place of prayer. And we sat down and began speaking to the women who had assembled. You see, there was no synagogue in Philippi. There were not enough Jews. There had to be a minion of Jews there for them to be able to have a synagogue and have a place of prayer and a place of worship. So these Jews who were religious women simply went by the riverside to meet and to worship. And on that day, God changed Lydia's life. It says, and a certain woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics, a worshiper of God, was listening. She wasn't even from Philippi. She was from Thyatira. She apparently had been passing through Philippi because it was a port city, because it was a city of commerce. She was a seller of purple. She was a businesswoman. And all of a sudden, her life changed in just a moment. She listened to the message, and it says she was listening, and the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things that were spoken by Paul. Has God spoken to your heart today? Has God spoken to you and said to you, you're not yet a believer, but I want you to be my child? If He's spoken to your heart, you've heard the gospel. You've heard that Jesus Christ died on that cross, that He paid for your sins in full, that He desires to give you eternal life, that He is the Son of God, that He is the only way to God. And all you need to do is say, Lord, I open my heart to You. I'm going to believe in my heart, and I'm going to confess You as my Lord, as my God, as my Savior. When Lydia did that, her life was changed in just a moment of belief, a moment of acting on truth, a moment of confession. And Paul went and stayed in her house, and from there he proclaimed the gospel. Beloved, believe and receive.
Thank you for watching today's program. To study along with us, download your free copy of the Philippians Study Guide by logging on to our website at preceptsforlife.com. And to find out more about Precept Ministries International, or if you're looking for a Precept Bible study class in your area, click onto our website or call us today, 1-800-763-1990.